are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts. When I chose the word forgive for my part in this sermon series, I knew I was picking a thorny topic. And I didn't choose it because I had words of wisdom. I had been reading Harriet Lerner's recent book, Why Won't You Apologize? And I wanted to grapple more with the question of how to forgive when the one who's hurt you discounts your hurt and denies that there's anything wrong. This was hard already, but as I was grappling, it got even harder. Trump supporters stormed the Capitol on Epiphany, the day that celebrates the revelation of God incarnate in Jesus. Jesus, who came to show us a different kind of power from the power that seeks to dominate by force. Trump supporters stormed the Capitol, and as I listened to the reports, my 5 years of simmering boiled over into a roaring fury. I fumed and churned and posted angry comments on Facebook and argued with childhood schoolmates and thought my head would explode with the cognitive dissonance of writing a sermon on forgiveness in the face of such bald-faced, hypocritical treachery. I railed at the Bible and its exhortations to forgive and judge not. How can we forgive and judge not those who bully and mock and exploit and abuse and desecrate and incite with impunity? How can we forgive and judge not those who throw in their lots with authoritarians, then sidestep consequences and deny responsibility for their part in unleashing this beast? This has been a hard month, a hard year, a hard series of years. I looked up the derivation of the word forgive to make sure I was clear on what it was I was called to do. I learned that it comes from the Latin word perdonare, donare meaning to give, and per meaning completely, without reservation. The Latin root is clear in our English word pardon. Our Germanic word forgive is a literal translation. For in this case means thoroughly or completely, and geben means to give. There's little room for interpretation then. Forgive means to completely renounce anger at, to completely abandon a claim on, to completely give up the desire or the power to punish. I checked the Presbyterian Study Catechism. Question 82 addresses my concern, and the answer leaves little doubt. Does your forgiveness of those who have harmed you depend on their repentance? The answer is no. Just as God's forgiveness of me is unconditional, so my forgiveness does not depend on their confessing and repenting of their sin. Current conventional wisdom says that you need to forgive not for the one who has hurt you, but for your own sake. To forgive means to renounce the power of the hurtful one over you, to free yourself from their power to provoke you and poison your thoughts and keep your wound raw. I can see the sense in this, especially when the harmful person or group is not a clear and present danger, when you're safely beyond their immediate reach. There are people I've gotten away from by leaving, and people whose own departure or death diminished the damage that they could inflict on my life. It is a relief to let go when there's no chance of mutual resolution. And I can see the reason in this when the cost of pursuing justice defeats its own purpose. Former FBI Director James Comey recently argued that we should not launch a criminal prosecution of Donald Trump because the drawn-out proceedings would keep him front and center in our attention for the next several years. And this would rob the country of the space it needs to find a way to heal itself. So I can see the reason to give up and let go. But what I can't see, especially when I have no personal bond with someone that would incline me to love the sinner but hate the sin, what I can't see is how to let go of anger without dismissing the hurtful person, without writing them off as a hopeless case, an irredeemable toxin. Boxing them up and sealing them off with a label like this relieves me, but how does it fit with the command to love my enemies? To love someone means to hold myself open to them, to admit an ongoing connection with them, to admit their part in humanity, to keep the door open for empathy and hope. Loving my enemies means keeping wounds open that need to be closed in order to heal, that need to be shielded from further trauma so damaged cells can repair. Staying open means laying myself bare to repeated hurt and more injury. Is this turning the other cheek? I told my family I hated the Bible, that I was done with its contradictions. I ranted at it for calling us to open our mouths, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the poor and needy, while at the same time exhorting us not to resist the evil person, but to let them slap us around even more and take our coat as well as our shirt. What are we called to do, I said, when the evil person slaps others around? And how do I reconcile the assurance of God's unconditional grace with the warning that if I don't forgive, then neither will God forgive me? Consider the end of the parable of the unforgiving servant, the one whose massive debt is forgiven by the king, but who then turns around and refuses to forgive the debt of the one who owes him. The king calls that servant to account, chastises him as wicked, and hands him over to be tortured. The conclusion is, so my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. How is this an example of God's transformational love? And how are we supposed to forgive the unforgiving servants among us? I used to puzzle that of all possible transgressions, the Lord's Prayer names debt as the one to watch out for. I looked this up and discovered that in Jesus' time, people took this literally as debt relief for the poor. Calvin and other Reformed thinkers, too, upheld the idea of forgiveness as an admonishment to the wealthy and powerful to curtail their strict, impoverishing debt collection practices. Fortunately for me, the call to forgive my debtors is easy. I hardly ever feel like anyone owes me anything, even in the figurative sense. And when they do, it's no skin off my teeth to be lenient. I know how it feels to fall short, and it's nice to know I'm not the only one who does. But in the Bible, the Lord's Prayer is immediately followed by this conditional equation. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. For me, this is alarming. The act of trespassing is different from the state of being unable to pay. Trespassing has to do with disregarding limits and violating boundaries and intruding into someone else's space. I balk at forgiving people with power who take and take over and steamroll their way over others. And lately I've felt steamrolled to forgive by politicians who've sought to consolidate power for themselves by disenfranchising others and now demand that we stifle our righteous anger for the sake of unity and healing. By childhood schoolmates who've pressured me to retract my rebuke and to go love my neighbor and shovel a driveway. And I feel steamrolled by the Bible that tells me I have to forgive. I resent being forced. Feeling forced makes me mad. If Jesus came to show us a different kind of power from the power that seeks to dominate by force, then this can't be it. Surprisingly, in the midst of whirling platitudes, I found a statement from Archbishop Desmond Tutu that took me aback. He said that forgiveness does not exclude hatred and anger, and that you should never hate yourself for hating others who do terrible things. Forgiveness, he said, means forging a path through hatred and anger and coming out on the other side. To forgive, you have to face pain. You can't get around it. You have to go through the hurt. A friend sent a poem she thought might help. It's called What is Unveiled, The Founding Wound by Adrienne Marie Brown. I'd like to read part of it here. A body is always a body, individual or collective. A body is always vulnerable. A wound is always a wound, singular and deep, or many cuts, slowly, blood everywhere. Left untreated, unstaunched, denied, a wound will always fester. It is not rude to acknowledge the stink, to wonder if it is viral, venom, survivable, to look for the lacerations. Denial will not disappear a wound. A body cannot be divided into multiple living entities. What us will go on breathing? Stop picking at the scab. It slows the healing. A body is always a body. Wounded, festering, healing, healed? Let us finally attend to the wound. So what do we do about people who wound us and feel no remorse? One way to cope is to flush them out of our system by writing them off as irredeemably bad or sick. But when we manage our hurt in this way, we do not change the dynamics of the power that seeks to dominate by force. And Jesus came to show us a different way. To forgive in God's image means neither to fight nor flee, but to hold our arms out and bare our chests and shine a light on the hurt. It means to stay open and vulnerable and forge a path through the pain. I don't think I can do this. I don't see how I'll ever be able to give up my gall for those who wield power with self-serving impudence. But I can't believe that God will throw me away for failing to find the capacity in myself to forgive. The study catechism says, I cannot love my enemies. I cannot pray for those who persecute. I cannot even be ready to forgive those who really hurt me or others without the grace that comes from above. I cannot be conformed to the image of God's Son apart from the power of God's Word and Spirit. I railed at the Bible and tried to renounce it, but in the end I did not have the power to sever its hold over me. I couldn't let go of my faith in God's love. I couldn't give up my belief that God will judge everything hostile to love by abolishing it at the very roots, that God will turn evil to good, that God will spare sinners and turn them from enemies into friends. I can't imagine how God will do this, but I don't have to believe that my imagination is the limit to God's possibilities. This is the point where faith has to step in. Lord, I give up my claim to understand. I believe. Help me in my unbelief. I am wounded. We are wounded. And we can't heal without you. Lord, we are bound to your creation, groaning to be set free, groaning for your kingdom to come, your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hold on to us, Lord. Hold us in the palm of your hand and stay with us, even in the depths of our anger. Give us the strength to hold ourselves open to those who have hurt us and guide us through to the healing transformation of forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.